Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is Apostle Deborah Deans and the Entire Men and Women of War Global Ministries. And I am so delighted on this evening to be able to get in the Word of God tonight. I just want to greet everyone. I want to give reverence to God who is my life, and to Apostle Deans in his absence, and to everyone in their respective places. I just want to greet everyone in the powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, this evening. And I am so delighted that you have chosen to study the Word of God with us on this evening. I just give God all praise and all glory on this evening. And I just thank him for allowing me to be here today. We're going to get ready to call our Bible class to order on tonight by his grace. We're going to still have, we're going to have a short devotion, and then we're going to go right into the Word of God on this evening. God is so good, and his mercy is everlasting. We're going to have just a short devotion. Let me see if I can find something. I'm just going to play.
Come on, if you got resurrection power on the inside of you, you got to make a bigger noise than that, I think. Lord, we bless your name. We bless your name. Lord, we give you everything we have. All that we have is yours. So, Lord, we didn't hold anything back, but we give you everything as we sing to you. I surrender all to you. Everything I give to you. The cry of my heart, withholding nothing, Lord, I surrender all to you, everything I give to you, withholding nothing. Holding nothing, we say, Lord, I surrender all, oh God, Lord, everything I give you, oh God, hallelujah, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, Lord, I surrender all. For everything I give you, oh God. Come on, let's sit together. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing. It all belongs to you, Lord. Withholding nothing. Oh God. Lord, we surrender. We give you withholding nothing, withholding nothing, and we say, I give you all of me. That's what it means to surrender. I give you all.
Our scripture reading will be coming from Proverbs chapter 18 on tonight. Proverbs chapter 18. Through desire, a man having separated himself, seeketh an intermediate with all wisdom. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but this his heart may discover itself. When the wicked cometh, then cometh also contempt, and with indignment, ignominy, reproach. The word of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. It is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for strokes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The word of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. I have just read to you from Psalms 18, from the first verse down to the ninth verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Lord, we come this evening, Father, humbly before your throne of grace tonight, asking you, Lord, to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you tonight, if we've offended anyone, Lord, if we've hurt anyone, Lord, if we caused anyone to stumble, Lord, we ask your forgiveness on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you to search our hearts and our minds and our spirit on this evening, Father. If there is anything, Lord, in there that should not be, Father, we ask you on tonight to remove it right now in the name of Jesus. We ask you to create in us, Lord, a clean heart, Father, and renew in us a right spirit and a sound mind this evening, Lord. We come today, Father, just thanking and praising you, Lord. We come humbly, Lord, before your throne of grace, just giving you all the glory on tonight and giving you all the praise, Father. We magnify your holy name tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we come, Lord, bowing down this evening. We come bowing, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We come worshiping you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We just come giving you praise. We giving you glory. We giving you honor today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I come right now, Lord, asking you right now to let the Holy Ghost take control of our Bible study on tonight. Let him teach us, Lord. Teach us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I ask you tonight to let me decrease 100% and let the Holy Ghost, Lord, increase 100%. I know nothing, Father, of myself, Father, in the name of Jesus, but it's you, Lord, it's you, Lord, it's you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lacanidios, and your word will not return void, Lord. I just thank you today. I thank you today. I thank you this evening. I thank you, Lord. Now I ask you now to let your anointing fall on our ears,
fall on our understanding. In the name of Jesus, I ask you today, Father, to open up our understanding, Lord, and teach us, Father, what you would have us to know today. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for your time, Father. I thank you that you allow me to come again before you today, Lord. I just thank you for your time, Father. I just thank you, Lord, that you allow me, Lord, to come before you again today. I thank you for your time, Father. In the name of Jesus, I give you praise tonight. I give you glory. I ask you all these things in Jesus' name. And for your glory, Father. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I just thank and praise God on this evening. And just so thankful today. I'm just thankful, thanking God for all that he do on today. We're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, I've been doing the impartation. In the activation, but God has given me talk about, and I know we'll get back on that next week, but I have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he's taken over and taken control, and these are some of the things that we should know on this evening. Tonight, we're going to be talking about soul ties. We're going to be talking about binding and loosing spirits. We're going to talk about curses. Hallelujah. We're going to be talking about soul ties. Now, you have good soul ties, and you have bad soul ties. I'm going to put it like that. We have good soul ties, and we have bad soul ties. A soul tie is like, when you intermingle, you have a bond. You have a bond between two people. A soul tie is like between friends. That's a good soul tie. Like David and Jonathan, souls knitted together. It's like to tie physically, gird or confine or compact. Or mentally to bind up, conspire, to join together, a soul tie. Now, the Bible speaks of what is today known as soul ties in the Bible. It doesn't use the word soul tie, but it speaks of them when it talks about souls being knitted. Or knit together, becoming one flesh. A soul tie can serve many functions, but in its simplest form, it ties two souls together in the spirit realm. Soul ties between married couples draw them together like magnets between married couples. While soul ties between fornicators can draw a beaten and abused woman to the man which is in the natural realm she would hate and run from, but instead she runs to him even though he doesn't love her and treat her with respect. In the demonic world, unholy soul ties can serve as bridges between two people to pass demonic garbage through. And what I'm saying is, and these are my notes I'm reading from, but all I'm saying is you got good soul ties and you have bad soul ties, and we need to know that all soul ties are not bad. All of them are not bad. A lot of times some people think it is, but it's not, because a soul tie is just like I said, Jonathan and David, they were very, very good friends, because
you know, David was singing for Saul, and when he sing or played a harp is what it was, it would soothe Saul. It would soothe that demon that was in Saul down, and Saul was Jonathan's dad. But him and Jonathan and David got so close, they was like they was knitted together, you know, and one would kill for the other. And I think Jonathan did go fighting for David or something like that and got killed in that thing. But when you have a best friend, it's just like having a best friend and you could talk to and tell anything to, and she have your best interest at heart, and she love you and you love her, and, you know, you're always there for each other. You always got each other's back, and you right there. Y'all like sisters, y'all like, you know, whatever, or brothers or however it is, and you bond. You bond and you knit your spirits together. That's like a soul tie. And even in marriage, and even if you're not married, when you lay down and you sleep with somebody, it's just like you being married. That's what it's like. It's like you being married because your soul's intertwined. That's why when you out here, when you got a boyfriend, don't go mess with two or three of them, because everybody you lay down with, your soul is going to be tied to that. You're going to be intertwined. And then you're going to have a lot of, that's why it's so hard when you're with somebody and you're not married to them, and you can't hardly get away from them because your soul and spirit is tied to them. Your soul is tied to them. Y'all, like, just like your marriage, your bondage, you're together, because in the Bible it says Abraham went into Sarah, went in there to Sarah. It didn't say he went in and laid down and had sex. He said they went in, but that's what it was. That's all it was. It didn't say they was married. They had a wedding and all that stuff, but when they laid down together and they had sex, they were married. Uh-huh. And so your soul intertwined like that, and you can't, it'd be hard because you all are one. You all are one. You've already did that thing, and I'm telling you, you know, I used to wonder why I think about old guys I was with when I was in the sixth grade and in the junior high school, and I said, Lord, I know they they married, got 14 children and all this kind of stuff, and they cross your mind every now and then. Because when you was messing with them, you wasn't married. You know what I'm saying? And at that early age, I wasn't doing nothing, no way. But I'm saying, when I was, it was still hard for the ones that I was with. I had to pray to get rid of them out your mind. Because you think back, especially when you're going through something, you should be thinking back, man, I should have stayed with so-and-so, so-and-so. Now, that's a soul tie. Then you have sexual relations soul ties. Godly soul ties are formed when a couple are married. For this cause shall a man leave his wife, and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. And the godly soul tie between a husband and a wife that God intended him to have is unbreakable by man. That's in Mark chapter 10, verses 7 through 9. However, when a person has an ungodly sexual relations with another person, an ungodly soul tie is being formed. And like I said, we all done had them. I know I have. And what is in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two said, he shall be one flesh. And this fragment is a little part of something. The soul, and it's destructive. People who have many past relationships find it very difficult to bond or be joined to anybody because their soul is tied or bounded. Just a small broken piece is fragmented. Your soul is fragmented. It's like, let me see. It's like a small part broken or separated off of something. That's what fragment is. Okay, and then you have close relationships like King David and Jonathan, like I was saying. I have heard, too, that you can create a soul tie with a rock group by becoming obsessed with their music. That's how soul ties are created, because you can love that rock group. You can go see them and listen to them all day long, which explains the strong pull towards certain music that seem almost irresistible. That's a soul tie when you just got on. When Michael Jackson was so popular, and the Beatles and all that kind of stuff like that was so popular, and you just had to go to the Kiel Auditorium to see them and all that. The little girls was falling out and falling over and all kind of stuff. That's a soul tie. Then you have the vows and commitments and agreements. Vows are known to be bind the soul. That's in Numbers chapter 30, verse 2. Marriage itself consists of vows and binds the two people together, Ephesians 5 and 31. Therefore, I have little reason to overlook the concept of vows or commitments as being a means to create a soul tie. How to break a soul tie? Well, let me just talk a little bit more about soul ties before we find out how to break the soul tie, because we're going to know how to break those soul ties. A soul tie in the Bible can be described not only by the word knit, but bound up and cleave. Cleave has a double meaning, to separate or to bring closer together. Cleave, a primitive root, to impede, to cling or adhere, to catch, but by pursuit, abide fast, cleave, fast together, to follow close. Hard after, be joined together, keep fast, overtake, pursue hard, stick, cleave. That's a soul tie. That is a soul tie. There can be a soul tie to a pastor or a leader. So every man of Israel went up from after David and followed Sheba, but the men of Judah cleave unto their king, from Jordan even to Jerusalem. That's in 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 2. Soul ties to the world are forbidden, for they turn us back to old things and would hinder deliverance. Joshua 23 and 13 says, Else if ye do in any wise to back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and they to you. Know for a certain that the Lord your God would not move, not more drive out any of these nations from before thee, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourge in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from this good land which the Lord your God had given you. That's in Joshua. So it's forbidden. See, in other words, here, you can't intermingle with different other religions and things like that. You can't do that, because Solomon did that. He did it. He married all them different wives, and then they turned him. They finally end up turning him, and he started worshiping their gods into that. And I know that's what they're talking about. Then you have soul ties formed by fornication and immorality. We just talked about that. That can be formed in marriage relationships. And we read about all that in Numbers chapter 30. Mm-hmm. But now we want to know how to be delivered from a soul tie, because so many of us have them, and we never did get delivered from them. So how we know? If any sin were committed to cause this soul tie, repent of them. Fornication is perhaps one of the most common ways to create nasty soul ties. And just for me, myself, you know, when I was studying this, when I was reading about it, and I was saying, Lord, I hope, you know, I repented from every soul tie that I can remember when I was growing up and when I was coming up, even when I was grown. The soul ties. I mean, I've been married most of my life, but still, you want to make sure, because that door can stay open. You started saying, what's wrong? Because you have to repent for that past stuff. You have to repent for that and ask God to remove that. If gifts were given to you by the other person in connection with the sin or an unholy relationship, such as rings, flowers, cards, bras, etc., I would get rid of them. Such things symbolize the ungodly relationship and can hold a soul tie in place. If you are still friends or in relationship, like, say, a boyfriend or girlfriend relationship, except you repented and forsaken the unholy practices you used to do in your relationship, then I don't feel it's necessary to destroy all the gifts and the things that you have been given. I would still encourage you to get rid of anything that symbolizes the ungodly practice in relationships, through such as if a guy give a girl a bra and panties set, or with the initials on his initials, something like that, you know, stuff like that, for you to think back and all this stuff. That's what I was just telling you about when you, years ago and all that kind of stuff, when you had a relationship with people that you shouldn't have had, with fornicating and stuff, and then they give you gifts and bras and rings and all this kind of stuff, and you want to hold on to it. I ain't giving him my ring. He ain't getting this back. But you don't need to keep it. You need to get rid of it. If it's something somebody's given you in the years past, that's how that it's a soul tie. Just do that. And I know it right, because my mother-in-law, my ex-mother-in-law, my mother Charlotte, she's gave me a lot of jewelry and stuff, and she didn't really care for me when she died. But everything, every piece of jewelry almost that I had from her, either I lost an earring or it broke in half, the changes, the necklaces, whatever it was, that stuff was just breaking and tearing. I was like, every time I put something on like that, and then the Spirit just quickened my spirit. The Lord quickened my spirit, like, you better stop putting that stuff on. Just stop putting it on. And I started throwing that stuff away that she had given me. Because it's a soul tie, and she dead. I don't want no soul tie with nobody, not no living nor no dead one. I don't want no soul tie. So I got rid of a lot of that stuff, a lot of it. Mm-hmm. So you have to really be careful. Any rash vows or commitments made that play a part in forming the soul tie should be renounced and repented of and broken in Jesus' name. Even things like, I would love her forever, or I would love him forever, I could never love another man, need to be renounced. That stuff needs to be renounced. I'm talking about in past relationships that you should have probably gotten over with now, and you still be thinking back what a good time that you had and all this kind of stuff. That's a soul tie. That's, now, I do, now don't get me wrong, because, you know, apostle and hardly perfect. I do think back on some things, but it ain't good things for me. You know, it's just thinking about all the time I wasted doing things. And this wasn't no soul tie. This was just marriages and stuff. But the time that I wasted and stuff like that, you know, and that's why I don't hold on to nothing. Nothing. I don't have anything. If I did, I would get rid of it. I got books, you know, that we bought when we was together, and I'm keeping my books.
Mm-hmm. I don't believe no soul tie can come through that, but
in any rate, I gave most of them back. And so I probably bought them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we want to, a lot of times we have to renounce things like that. We have to renounce. Proverbs 21 and 23 tells us, whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from trouble. The tongue has the ability to bring the soul great troubles and bondages. We got to forgive that person if you have anything against them. You have to renounce the soul ties. Do this verbally in Jesus' name. For example, in Jesus' name, I now renounce any ungodly soul ties formed between myself and Keith as a result of our marriage or whatever it was, you know, and then break the soul tie in Jesus' name. Do this verbally using your authority in Jesus' name. For an example, I now break and sever any ungodly soul ties formed between myself and whoever else as a result of fornication. And that's, I'm talking about myself. And so that's how you can break that thing. Now, we're going to talk, because I got so much. But now we want to talk about binding and loosing spirits. That was soul ties. And I hope everybody got that, because we need to know. And I know y'all know, because y'all prophets, about soul ties. I know you have to renounce ungodly stuff. You have to renounce it so a door won't be open or a door won't be left open. Because those things can leave doors open, and that's how spirits get in. Demons can be, this is binding and loosing spirits. Demons can be imported by the laying on of hands. Therefore, be careful who pray for you. Be careful. Why would you let somebody that you know not doing the right stuff lay hands on you? You don't need nobody laying their hands on you, praying for you, and they all messed up. While we are not to live in fear or apprehension, cautious would lead us to pray to cover our body, mind, and spirit with the blood of Jesus Christ for continuous protection. We are in all our war with many pitfalls and hurtful attacks. The scripture admonishes us to walk soberly and vigilantly, because our savage adversary, Satan, is always ready to attack the caravan, to become presumptuous and underestimate the power and the cunning of the enemy can be fatal. In these dark days of the unleash of supernatural powers of the forces of darkness, none but supernaturally empowered believers will be able to stand. That's why you have to be rooted and grounded in the Word. Rooted and grounded, and know that you have power. God has given us power, authority, and authority over the enemy. He's given us power. We have to know that we have power just in our words. Hallelujah. We can cast out demons. We can cast them out. We can command them to come. Hallelujah. We can decree and we can declare. We can bind and we can loose. We can rebuke and bind
and loose ourselves from any of it. We renounce that stuff. Only believers, armed with the word of God and practice in using supernatural powers in their everyday lives, will be able to cope with the tides of the wickedness sweeping through the world today. Because I'm telling you, these witches and warlocks and wizards, they have really stepped up their attack. I'm telling you. I can feel it in the atmosphere. I feel it in the atmosphere. I be getting attacked so hard, I wake up in the morning time and I can just, it's like, hey, and all you can do is rebuke it and bind it and loose yourself from it. The other day I was driving down Woodward, and all of a sudden I must have drove through something. I don't know what I drove through, but I could hear a voice saying, "Do you think you should be driving?" I told my husband, I said, "I hear this voice talking about doing whatever." I rode through, I had to rebuke and bind that thing in order for God to get that thing off of me. Believe me, always getting attacked, but I always attack them back. I always attack them back. I rebuke and bind them and send them to the pits of hell where they come from. We have to use it. We have to know we have the superior weapon. We are equipped, and power is beyond question. Unfortunately, most believers are ignorant to the fact that they even have the power and the authority to do these things. I don't understand. But as we crash headlong into the beginning of the terrible darkness of the end times, religious cliches and formulas will be splintered beyond repair in any confrontation with the raw supernatural power of the evil one. Only power from the third heaven will avail. The third heaven up there where Jesus is. I'm telling you, you got to stand on the word of God. And he coming so now, it's just wars, and you know it's the end times. Because he said it shall be wars and rumors of wars. He said when you can't tell the winter from the summer, from the spring, from the fall, know that I'm near. I mean, it snowed one day, it's 65 the next day, it rained the next day, it sleet the next day, it freeze over the next day. You don't know. You don't even know how to dress. It's just messed up. That's how you know that the end times are near. Those unaware of or denying the power of the demonic realm shall be helpless in the face of the coming all-out assault from the spirit world. If you don't know anything about it, if you're not studying what you should study, people, oh, they just talk about demons all the time. They just all she teach on this. That's not all I teach on. But believe me, I'm going to say what God tell me to say, and it's up to you whether you adhere to it, whether you believe it, whether you have carried that authority that he's given you. It's up to you. Only power from the third heaven will avail. Easy believism must be replaced by living faith. That's in James chapter 2, verse 18. In the days ahead, the ability to lay hold on the power of God may easily determine the difference between life and death. Those unaware of or denying the power of the demonic realm shall be helpless in the face of the coming out, all-out assault from the spirit world. Truly, how slow of a heart we are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It is vital. It's vital
for us to learn to exercise our authority to bind evil spirits and also to loose the spirits of God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Verse John chapter 4, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 and chapter, verse 14. It's not complicated. A simple prayer will do. I take authority over the spirit of whatever spirit it is in the person in James. I just say James. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and command them to be bound. By binding, I mean you are to manifest in any way until you come out in deliverance. To loose spirits, it could be angels of God. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus to send spirits of whoever it is to hinder and stop the work of the enemy. We have to pray these prayers. We have to ask God, because I bind them all the time. And I loose myself. I rebuke whatever spirit this is, the spirit of lust, the spirit vagabond spirit, of whatever kind of spirit it is, you rebuke it. And you bind it, and you send it back to the pit, and you ask God to send his angels. Whatever angel, the Father, that you have given charge over me, lest I dash my feet against a stone, send my angel to war against them. To war. Call upon Michael, hallelujah, the one angel, hallelujah. And I tell you, he will fight for you. He will fight for you. Yes, he will. I know he will, hallelujah, because I can see him in spiritual battles for me. I know he's fighting, hallelujah, because it be, I be feeling good, then I feel bad, and I feel just like a struggle, and I be crying out to the Lord. That's why sometimes I go to him so much, he probably say, this girl back here again. I don't have nobody else to pray to. I don't believe in nobody but my Father in heaven, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's who I call on. That's who I believe in. He said, don't put your confidence in men. We have pastors and leaders and things that should be praying for us. But my whole confidence is in God. My whole confidence. I was telling an apostle the other day, I said, I pray for so many people. I pray for people I know they don't care for me. I know they don't like me. I still pray for them. I pray for evangelists. I pray for Laura. I pray for Carlin. I pray for I don't care if they don't care for me. I don't care if they don't never speak to me no more. I'm going to still pray for them. I'm going to still love them in spite of whatever they did. I'm still going to do it because I love God, and I got the love of God in my heart. I don't hate nobody. And when I say nobody, I don't hate nobody. I'm telling you, but this is how we're going to survive. We're going to survive through love. If you don't have that love, you're not going to be able to make it. You're going to have love. I'm telling you, God is love. God is love. God is love. You got to have love and compassion in your heart for the people of God. I'm telling you, yes, you do. You got to have love. So I'm just saying, I was saying, Lord, I pray for so many people every day. I said, I wonder who's praying for me. Anybody praying for me? You know, and I know God is saying, I got you. I got
you.
Yeah. I depend on him having me. I depend on him having me, because you ain't going to go up to nobody and say, girl, you been praying for me and all this kind of stuff. Mm-mm. But if you do what I tell you to do, I got you. I got you because I know I be getting attacked. I know I do. And I don't really care because once you come up against any kind of spirit that's on anybody that you're praying for, you got an all-out fight. And I don't care because I'm up for it. Bring it, you know, bring it. You know, because I'm going to war in the spirit for you. Hallelujah.
I'm going to war in the spirit for you. And they going to leave. Because God gave me authority and that power over every demon. Hallelujah. He lifts up standards against them for me. Hallelujah. So I know it. But we have to know that we got that power. Some of us got eyes. We can see people walking down the street in cars and buses and in the train station, the bus station, and they be full of demons. You have to, and they be looking at you like crazy. You have to bind them, rebuke you right now. You stay right on over there. I rebuke you right now, and I bind you up in the name of Jesus. Don't come over here. I bind you up. By every authority that power that God has given me, you stay right on over there. Hallelujah. When Jesus was on the boat, he caused the sea to calm, the wind to calm down. He's given us power. The wind going another direction. We have to know that we have the authority to do these things. Hallelujah. When they say the hurricane going to touch down here, you have power. I'm telling you. Because God don't cause all of that stuff. I'm telling you. He don't cause all of that stuff. Sometimes he be trying to get our attention. But I'm telling you, folks be losing their lives and stuff like that. But we have the power and authority. And I've experienced so much in when it comes to hurricanes and storms and stuff, how God protected this, the house that I was in. I'm telling you, I just give him praise today. I give him glory. I give him praise today. Another interesting part of binding and loosing, which has proven effective, is to bind evil and negative thoughts in yourself and other people. And that's a blessing, because I try to do that. I do that myself when I ask God to bind up the strong man. And I haven't did it in myself yet, but I think I'm going to start doing it. Because first of all, you have to ask God to look at you, let you see yourself. I pray that all the time. Lord, if it's me, help me, because I don't want to be around here preaching and teaching this and this and this and this, and it's me, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that. So I pray, Lord, show me. Let me see me. Lord, if it's me, help me. Show me the way. Show me what to do. I pray, because I don't want to be sitting up here all this time teaching and preaching and go straight to hell in a handbasket, not me. Whatever it is, God got to straighten me out with. Straighten me out, Lord. So we need to bind evil and negative thoughts, because sometimes that'll open up a door. That'll open up openings in your door, where demons can come in. You be sitting up having evil thoughts against people, holding this and holding that. That's why I ask God to forgive me every day, because I do that stuff when I'm driving. But I say, just move, stop, don't come out here and all that kind of stuff. And sometimes I be holding thoughts, get over. She didn't pass me, all that kind of stuff. That's not good, and that's not right. So it's good to bind every negative thought in your mind, every negative thought. We don't want to have nothing like the enemy. We don't want to have nothing like the enemy got. We don't want to have no negative nothing, no evil nothing. We don't want to be nothing like the enemy, nothing like him. So specific edifying and positive spirits can be released at the same time. So while you're binding negative thoughts in yourself and other people, positive spirit can be released at the same time. That's in Matthew 18:18.
when you attempt to bind and box demons in order to stop deliverance proceedings, they will resist. And we know that when you trying to get somebody delivered, them demons ain't going to come out peacefully. Because they want to stay in right where they at. I saw a young lady on TV today, and I felt so sorry for her. But you could see the demons all in her face. She was looking. She wouldn't look straight at the camera. She was looking all around. She was just looking. She had about five DUIs, and she had ran into a FedEx truck today and killed the driver, a 36-year-old man. He had four children and a wife, and she had so many violations on that. She was drunk this time and killed that man. But when they put on her, they asked her, you know, they don't bring in the courtroom. They have you in a room where they can see your face or something like that. And she was just standing up and she was looking around like she didn't know where she was. But when that sentence come down, that demon going to leave. They ain't going to stay in there. They ain't going to jail with you now. They make you get in all kind of trouble, but they not going to jail with you. They going to try to find some other place to be in. So we you know, a lot of times people don't think it can happen. This can't happen. This can't happen, but it can happen. Especially when you let people, you know, they married and they commit adultery. And they got nurses want to pray for you, or they have, you know what I'm saying? And then they doing this, and they want to come lay their hands on you. People say, "Well, you don't want me to." No, it's not that. But I don't need you to lay your hands on me. You can pray all day, just don't put your hands on me, because that's how spirits impart into you. That's how they impart into you. And so we don't want that. You don't want that, because I'm telling you. It's happened. It happened. Okay, we still talking about binding and loosing spirits, and it's so important to do that even in yourself, because a lot of times when we pray, especially when we ask God to purge us, and we fast and pray in tongues and stuff, and a lot of times that stuff come up. A lot of that stuff be purging you from all kind of importations from demons and all kind of stuff. A lot of people think that can't happen, but it happens. It happens, because otherwise God wouldn't need to purge you from anything. But you've been in praying and laying hands on so many other people, stuff like that happens. I'm telling you, it happens. But you have to know. A lot of times we be feeling bad, headache, sick, backache, this and that. That don't be our sickness. We've been to pray for somebody, grab a hand, all that kind of stuff. Let me grab your hand, sister. Let's pray together. Let's agree and all that. You be picking up their condition. Go home and hear you sick all night long for praying, holding somebody's hand. He said, touch no man suddenly. Touch no man suddenly. Don't lay your hand on nobody. You don't know what kind of demons they got, and them demons just waiting for you so they can leap off on you, because they will do it. Believe me. They see you with that anointing all over you. Who? You think they ain't going to try to get you? Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And battling evil spirits, keep up a barrage so they can get no rest. You can loose angels to spin their minds. And what this is talking about, you keep, Lord, build a hedge of protection around me. And you ask your angels. You ask them, because you have angels. You have angels. You just got to use them. You got to activate them. You got to use them. God gave them to you. He gave them to you. And I got so many warfare prayers on how to pray against the enemy. I'm telling you. And I sometimes I have to walk through my house, but it's peace in here now. But before, and I had a lot of in and out, going in and out. I had a lot of them, different things up in here. And I had to walk through my house and clean house. You have to clean house. You call them demons out, they got to go. Open your window, open your door, they got to go. Mm-hmm. When how you know you have them, I'm just telling you, in your house, when you start, now, don't get me wrong, because you have angels in the house. You can hear things, but you know, angels won't scare you. I've had them to appear right here in my house. And I was standing at the kitchen, one appeared right beside me, didn't bother me. One was standing at the table the next few minutes. One was standing at my kitchen table, an angel. I knew it was an angel because they appeared to me so quick. And I'm calling, I'm saying, Apostle, is somebody in here? Is somebody else in here? I knew it was angels because I wasn't afraid. But when you start hearing things move or something running across your peripheral vision real quick and all this kind of stuff, they will appear to you, an angel will. That godly angel will appear to you. Yes, he will. And they won't scare you. So that's the difference. That's the difference. And you'll feel protected around them. Yes, you will. I used to stand at the top of my steps and look down and see them. Mm-hmm. I come on down the steps because I want to know what's in. Because that kind of stuff right there, I be wanting to know. So I'm coming down to y'all. Here I come. Because I ain't scared of damn demons. I ain't scared of. I fear God. But I thank and praise God. We didn't really get through all of what I wanted to, but we did get through the soul tie, and it's much more to that. And but the binding and loosing spirits, they are good. And like when you, even in your tub, when you're taking a bath or a shower, ask God to loose anything off of you. Loose it. You rebuke and bind anything, if it's anything on me, Father, because when you go out in the day, when you out around people, you don't know what you're bringing back in your place. You have to stand outside sometime, and Lord, don't let nothing come in here with me. You could be just being went to the grocery store. You pick up all that. Demons know you. Demons know you because you have a purpose in life. You're a prophet, and they know you. They know you when you're coming. They see you when you're coming. So you have to be thinking about that. So you don't want to take. It could be an arguing spirit, confusion spirit. You bring that stuff back up in your house with you. You everything that ain't supposed to go in here with me, or everything that loose any confusion, anything on me that's not like God, I bind and rebuke you now. You can't go in here with me in the name of Jesus. Go back to the pits of hell and go on in your house. Let that stuff stay outside. But anyway, I'm not going to hold you because I always up. But I thank and praise God on today for what we did learn about binding and loosing and soul ties. And maybe next week I may go a little further just until God tell me to go back to the apostolic impartation and the prophetic activation. And just like I just said, apostolic impartation, if you can impart the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God on somebody, the anointing, the enemy can impart using somebody to lay hands on you. They can impart in you just like that. So, Father, we thank you tonight for our Bible class. We thank you for studying tonight. We thank you for your word, Lord. We know your word won't return void, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I ask you to cover them and their household in the name of Jesus. Lord, wherever they go, on the highways and the byways, Lord, in the grocery store, Lord, in the schools, Lord, I ask you to protect them. The ones that's out in radio land, Lord, protect their families, Lord. Don't let their house
their covers go bare at all, Lord. I never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread. I ask you to just cover them in the blood of Jesus. I ask you to bless them. All these things we ask in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen. God bless you all. I love you. God love you too. I'll see you back here on Sunday. Amen. Good night.
Amen.